I'd like to thank you both for coming this morning to the beginning of the stink bugs session. What I'm going to do is update some data that a number of us from the regions you can see there, our southeast region, have been taking that basically demonstrates the potential utilization of a dynamic threshold. Here the states have been participating in the study, and you can see at this point we've done 20 tests in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, and you can see where the tests have been conducted. And so you can see we have a pretty broad database over a fairly wide geographic area that certainly seems to address the southeast. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but virtually all the tests were set up in a diagram as you see here. This is a randomized complete block design. You can see our plots were 6 to 8 rows, occasionally 12 rows per plot. Generally, they were in the range of 50 to 100 feet. The applications we did were, I guess you regard them as no-nonsense applications. It would pretty much take out green, southern green, and brown stink bugs. We used a medium rate of a pyrethroid for most of these applications and probably what you call a decent rate of bidrin. Typically, the rates were in the range of 1/3 of a pound to 1/2 a pound, and as you can see from those squares, the green sevens represent, beginning at first bloom, applications weekly. The next plot on the bottom there, of course, 6 applications meant we waited a week, and then 5 and 4 and so on until we had untreated plots. I won't go into detail here, but you can see we took a lot of data. Not all this data was taken in every test, but in every test, of course, we did the applications and got the yields, and that provides the basis for some of these economic comparisons, or looking at the amount of yield we lose or gain by sprays in a particular week of bloom. I'm going to mention some of the relevant observations that seem to provide information on what kind of a threshold seems to be the most show the most utility. These next 3 slides really show versions of the same thing, and that is to show you that at least at these test sites, that plant bugs were not a big factor. If you're from the Mid-South, this is probably almost unheard of, but this shows the number of plant bugs for 6 row feet averaged over the first 5 weeks of bloom. And you can see the numbers are relatively low. I'm not sure whether the numbers are actually lower in Georgia, but there seems to be a bit of a trend there. But you can see even in North Carolina, if some of you are familiar with what you use to gauge thresholds and so on, you can see that our numbers are real low. Another way of looking at plant bug pressure, and this is another odd one probably if you're from the Mid-South, but from 205 to 208, this shows square retention averaged over the first 5 weeks of blooming in the check plots. And you can see we probably averaged something like over 90% square retention. So again, that's odd, but as you can appreciate, it probably shows again that plant bugs are not much of a factor in these tests. And then finally, we took dirty bloom counts in a number of these tests. And you can see by almost any measure, even though most of us wouldn't recommend doing bloom counts as a sole basis for using a threshold, you can still appreciate that these are very low numbers, again, indicating that we're mostly dealing, or to a very, very high degree, dealing with stink bugs, not plant bugs, in these tests. Another piece of information that's been updated through 2008 has been a trend that we've noticed, and you can see in North Carolina on your left, we're mostly dealing with green stink bugs. We're all dealing to some degree with brown stink bugs. As you get further south, down toward Tifton, you can see he's probably more dealing with southern greens, just a little bit of greens. Those yellows, I think Philip was identifying some species like Eustistis quadrator and some of these things that we don't see very often, but we don't think that's a huge factor, really impacts the data that I'm going to show. But you can see there's a pretty fair number of brown stink bugs. In 2 of our tests in North Carolina, just before the 3 South Carolina tests, you can see we had mostly brown stink bugs. And for us, at least, that provides somewhat of a rationalization, I think, for tank mixes. You probably know that brown stink bugs are a little more tolerant of pyrethroids. So in most cases, most of our growers would probably make a tank mix applications just because there's a pretty high probability there's at least some browns in the mix. Another thing that we've noticed, if a person's scouting and we see a wart or we see stained lint, that bowl is not necessarily all gone. And you can see a range of damage there so that, for example, if you compare bollworm damage, we did a lot of threshold work. What you see here, of course, is the amount of yield loss per 1% damage. And as you can guess, those are just means. There's a lot of variability involved. Not very much with bollworms, because you can appreciate with bollworms, you have a hole in the bowl, and that bowl's gone. With stink bugs, you can get damage that's quite variable. So a machine might pick 3 of the 4 locks, or the lock might be completely destroyed and so on, but you can see about a 3-to-1 comparison there. And so that's fairly good news for stink bugs. Well, if you look at the relationship between the number of applications, say, and the yields, theoretically, you might expect something like this. On the left there, that would, for example, be 7 applications at first bloom, going all the way down to the untreated check you see on the right. So in this case, we've lost 350 pounds. So you'd have a real even yield loss per application. You could subtract out those yields and try to find weeks where it might be more critical. Again, this is a theoretical situation, but kind of shows you what we did. Averaged over 16 tests through 07, you can see here that by subtracting yields sequentially, what we get is an indication that between weeks 3 to 5 or 6, we get a pretty good return on one spray. It's one spray because we're looking at the difference between consecutive weeks, particularly during weeks 3 and 4, between weeks 4 and 5. You see that we gained almost 60 pounds of lint for a single spray. So that kind of tells us that there seems to be a critical period when scouting ought to be intensified, when we could probably justify lower thresholds with perhaps higher thresholds on each end. So the thresholds we proposed a couple years ago that we took a look at, Dr. Green is going to show next the results of some threshold work, but it indicates or suggests to folks that during weeks 3, 4, and 5 of blooming, you can probably justify having a fairly low threshold, in this case is 10%. That's the threshold we've used in North Carolina for probably the past 10 years or so now. One problem with this threshold, of course, is if it's low from all the way through the bloom period, you have some cases where you probably spray and don't need to. So in this case, if you target it through these critical 3 weeks, we think that that's going to be more justifiable. Well, the question on the front end is 50% sounds kind of high for the first week of blooming, and 30% is potentially kind of high. I'll show you 3 pieces of information that tend to support that. We measured diameters of all the bowls, and all those colors aren't important, but what I wanted you to look at on the left-hand side just shows you the number of susceptible bowls during the first few weeks of blooming is on the low side. So first of all, you could have fairly high damage, but if the bowl numbers were low enough, you wouldn't have much or any of a yield penalty. Secondly, this is averaged over 8 tests. We used a sweep net and collected stink bug adults, and you can see in the case of the adults and the red bars on the bottom that there was movement into the field. But in most cases, we don't deal with much of a nymphal problem, the green-colored bars there. You can see there's a pretty good buildup of nymphs in week six or seven, but what I should also say that in a lot of these tests, we're looking at first and second and occasionally third instars, because those were the results of those adults that were beginning to fly into the test during the first 3 weeks, and there was finally some reproduction. So again, if you look at weeks 1 and 2, average over these tests, you don't see a lot of stink bugs early, and you might find individual situations that are an exception. But again, remember, the nymphs come in kind of late. And then this is some work that was done in the late 80s in North Carolina, and some of our states have versions, but our version is, if you look at the middle bars there, those are the percent unharvestable locks from stink bugs put in cages for several days. And you can see we couldn't get any damage to speak of in first and second instars, but even in NSTARS 3 and 4, we didn't get much of an impact, and you can see the fifth NSTAR green stink bugs in adults could do a fair amount of damage. But in these tests, we didn't get these big nymphs typically. And you can see in this case, adult brown stink bug feeding was somewhat less than fifth NSTAR greens and fifth NSTAR and green adults. The other thing that we saw, even under fairly hefty pressure, this is protection from first bloom there on the right and six and five applications. In the test where we did get higher pressure, somewhat surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly given the last two slides, we didn't get a yield penalty for these first 2 weeks. So again, even under a test like this where we had fairly high pressure, we didn't have a yield loss. So it seems as though there's a good justification for having these thresholds pretty high early in the season. The other question is, what do you do later in the season? And you can see here, we recommend after these three consecutive weeks of 10% that we move those thresholds up. And the rationale for that is that we're getting a lot of bulls that are too big to be damaged. A lot of you probably know from previous talks, when bulls are about 3.5 weeks old, stink bugs can no longer damage them. This case, you can see the bull is a little bit bigger than that circle that indicates the inch and a quarter diameter, and I cut that away and took another picture. So you can see obvious stink bug damage here, at least it certainly seems to be stink bug damage, and you cut it away. Apparently that damage had taken place after 3.5 weeks, so there wasn't damage to the bull. Secondly, if you look here during weeks 6, 7, 8, and well, 6 and 7, I'm mostly focusing on, because remember we were increasing the thresholds, and I happen to have chosen the slide because it kind of makes my point. Not all the locations were exactly like this, but during week 6 here, you can see that about half the bulls are too big to be damaged, and that's a further rationalization for upping the threshold beyond this critical period. And of course, that only increases as you get more bulls that are protected. So to summarize, it appears to me, or hopefully us, data from 20 progressive spray tests suggests that the use of the dynamic threshold does two things. It appears to save unwarranted insecticide sprays, both early and late in the bloom period, with no yield penalty or perhaps a slight yield penalty. And number two, it targets sprays during times of the bloom period when bug damage results in yield loss during weeks 3, 4, and 5. And again, we're gonna hear next from Dr. Jeremy Green, and he'll actually show you comparisons with some of these thresholds and how they compare. So I may be good on time.
You're in good shape. We've got about two minutes here for questions.
Anything I can speculate about? If not, oh yeah. Excuse me?
If you're a consultant in the field, you got that first or second week, 50 or 30% of the bowl that's just starting to bloom. What do you base that damage?
Well, actually, to be honest, it was kind of arbitrary. We defined the first week of blooming. You know, you see a bloom here and there, maybe on an end plant. But I think for the most part, talking with Philip just yesterday, and Philip Roberts and Jeremy Green, we're pretty much waiting until we had about 3 blooms for 25 feet or so. And that kind of started our first spray. But you're dealing with some pretty small bulls. As one of us thought, you could even put in not applicable. It seems to us, remember, we're not dealing with plant bugs, so that doesn't complicate our situation. And I don't know that we ever had to spray during the first week. So that first week, I could have put up 10%. Maybe we could have put up 100% there, to be honest. But 50% was a nice high number that if you wanted to look at some very small bulls early, clearly that would be an I just don't think you'd find a treatable situation, if that answers the question. Anyway, thank you for your attention.